Isaiah 43 and 15, I am the Lord, your Holy One. There's not but one that's holy, right? The Holy One, the Creator, the Creator of Israel, your King. He's the Lord, He's the Holy One, He's the Creator, and He's the King. Can you say amen? Oh, that's wonderful. Thank the Lord. He's all of those things. Thus saith the Lord, which maketh a way in the sea and the path in the mighty waters. This is speaking of the Red Sea that opened up as Israel crossed over. He created. Can you understand that? He created a way. They didn't get in a boat. They didn't go over on a ferry. They didn't go over a bridge. He created a way for them to get across. The Holy One did that. Thus saith the Lord, which maketh a way in the sea, a path in the mighty waters, which bringeth forth the chariots and horses. As Israel passed over, the enemy chased after them, the army and the power. He coaxed them. He allured them into the same path that Israel had walked. But let me tell you, you can't walk this Christian walk and live a devil's life. You can't do it. And so he allured them into that same path. They shall lie down together. They shall not rise. They are extinct. He told them, the enemy that you see today, you will see no more. They are quenched as tow. Remember ye not. Now, this is so interesting because he tells us what happened. And then he says, remember ye not the former things, neither consider the things of old. Woo! After me reminding you of what you've been dwelling on and thinking about, he says, I want to tell you, it's time for us to move on. Amen. Behold, I will. Now, you can be part of it or you don't have to be part of it. You can be stuck in yesteryear if you want to, but God still will do a new thing. I will do a new thing. Now, it shall spring forth. You ever opened a pen, you know, just to, and ping. It's going to be when you don't even expect it. It's going to boom, and it's already going to happen. It will spring forth. Shall ye not know it? I will even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. I'm going to make another way through the wilderness where there was no water. I'm going to bring water. Where there was no way, I'm going to bring a way. And what you can't do, I can do. But if you want to do it your way, that's an old thing. Do it your way, that's an old thing. There's nothing new under the sun. But if you do it my way, it's going to have to be a new thing. And I want to talk to you this morning, teach this morning about encore or new thing. Encore or new thing. God, we ask you this morning, we're thankful, Lord, for your blessings. We ask you to bless us once again through your word, for your word will never return void. Help us, Lord, to hear and understand and be a doer of what the word says this morning. In Jesus' name. Amen. Glory to God. God bless you. You may be exceeded. I'm not just excited this morning. I stay excited. I stay excited about God. He never ceases to amaze me. He's always doing new things. Amen. An encore is to bring back something that has already happened. It's already been performed, right? And it's like when I get through preaching, y'all clap till I preach some more, right? When I sing, y'all clap till I sing some more. Encore is when it's so good that you just, and they've left the stage and they come back. Well, what do? They sing the same song. They sing the same verse, same musicians, same thing. You just hadn't got enough of it. And there's nothing wrong with that. I've listened to some songs over and over and over again. Back in the old 8-track days. How many of you remember the 8-track days? Some of y'all too young to remember the 8-track days. You had to listen to 3 songs to get to the one you wanted to hear, right? And you go 4 channels, you'll click, 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 and you get to the one you want. You had to listen to them other songs to get to that one song where you turn it up. And then you have to, you know, encore, hear that same old song. And you go to bed in the middle of the night, you're still singing that same old song. Amen. But it's the same thing. It's just kind of repetitious, if you will. And before long, you're going to go, I'm sick of that song. I'm sick of that song. And we must realize that God is not repetitious. He is not repetitious. He's not ritualistic in any way. We get ritualistic. but he is not ritualistic, and neither is he conformable. He's not conformable. Because anytime you conform something, it's to something that's already in existence. It's the old thing. You just make it like whatever it was conformed to. When you pour concrete, you put up forms. And the concrete conforms to the forms. Hallelujah. But God says, I don't need a form. Because I'm going to do a new thing you've never heard of, you've never seen before, and it's going to spring up so quick, you're going to like, where did that come from? How did that happen? My Lord, I didn't see that coming. Amen. How many of you realize that God can do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that you can ask or think? That's how powerful our God is. Anything you think, it's because it's already been done. We don't have the capability, really, to understand things that are beyond our thinking, where he can do above whatever a man can think. And Lord, we've come into a generation today that I never thought I would see what I'm seeing today. But God already, that's old stuff to him. Old stuff to him. God is a creator. He is not an imitator. He doesn't imitate, and he does not want to be imitated. Hallelujah. You make you a sacred cow? Well, honey, you bow down to it because the people of God are not. They would not bow down to a golden image, to a calf, or anything made with hands, because that's an imitation of some other god. Our God is the Holy One, and he will not be imitated. Beside me, he said, there is no other. My name, he said, is Jealous, with a capital J. Ooh, my Lord. I don't think, Brother Scalia, you'd want your wife sitting by some other man, would you? I don't think you'd be sitting right there if he was. Jealousy is a good thing. However, if it's in the wrong area, it's crueler than the grave, the Bible says. God doesn't follow a pattern. He doesn't follow a blueprint. He doesn't take suggestions. He doesn't counsel with you or with angels. God is a creator. He can take nothing and speak it into existence. He can say, let there be light. And the next verse says, and there was light. Woo, hallelujah. How powerful is that? We have to work at everything we do. He just imagines it and it happens. Amen. So encore is simply to replace something that's already been named. It's already been determined. It's already been finished. And we just hear it again and again and look at it again and again. But I'm here to tell this class this morning, the old timers in this class, God bless all of us. God still wants to do a new thing. And we have to be careful we don't get stuck in the old thing so that we don't allow God to do a new thing. Hallelujah. I imagine sitting among me this morning are people that said, I'll never get a computer. I'll never have one of them things. And here you are calling somebody, come fix my computer. I can't get it to turn on right. And here you are bothering other people trying to get your computer fixed. And you said, I'd never get one. Maybe good you didn't get one. A new thing, a new thing. Things that don't even have names yet. It's just called a thing, right? It's just called a thing. It's so new that, well, what's it called? Well, I don't know. It's a whatchamacallit. It's a thingamajig. I don't know what you call it. But you just try it. You'll like it. It's so new, there's no name for it. God wants to do that kind of thing. Something so fresh, something so new, that when the manna fell out of heaven, they said, what is it? Whoo, it was so new and so fresh. What is that? Ah, oh, Lord. Hallelujah. But if you don't take the new thing, you die. Woo! There are a lot of dead people going to church because they wouldn't accept a new thing. You can't eat yesterday's bread. He said that bread, you have to eat it again tomorrow, the next day, and the next day. It's got to be new every day. New things, they leave you no point of reference. I mean, you can't say, well, it's like, it's kind of like, well, I can't explain it. You just got to try it. There's really no point of reference. When God does a new thing, it's not like the old thing. And that's what he's talking to them about. I'm thankful we crossed the Red Sea. I am thankful that he drove back the waters. I'm so grateful that Moses was there. But it is time, my brothers and sisters, to move on to a new thing. Lest we dwell on the old thing and we keep looking backwards instead of looking forwards. For where there is no vision, the Bible says, the people perish.
Hallelujah. The problem is with a new thing,
it always meets opposition. It always meets opposition. Henry Ford can't be here this morning, but he wanted me to tell you that he was told we don't need an automobile. We have horses. What are you going to do with an automobile? There are no roads. An airplane? You got to be kidding me. Man don't need to fly. We can drive wherever we want to go. Internet? What is that? I don't need internet. Nearly every one of you got a cell phone. Some of you, I know one man said, I'll never get a cell phone. I mean, it was taboo. I ain't get a cell phone. The other day he was sending me pictures. I'm serious. I'm serious. He finally accepted the new thing. And boy, he loves it to death. But you can fight that old thing all you want to. And you'll die in your sins. Because God's not working backwards. He works forwards. Amen. He works ahead of you, not behind you. He always told them, I'll go ahead of you and I'll drive them out. I'm not coming in behind you. I'm going ahead of you. God is ahead of you. That's what a guide is. The Holy Ghost is a guide, right? It goes ahead of you. You don't follow. It doesn't follow you. You follow it. Oh, hallelujah. Y'all might have to come get me. I didn't take my medicine this morning. I'm so excited about the Lord. Amen. New things, new things, new things. I like new things. How many of you like new things? Like new things. I like new things. Amen. And sometimes we're not open to new things until nothing else works. Nothing else works. There are thousands, if not millions of people today taking experimental drugs. Something that don't even know what to call it yet. Not sure it even works. But they're so desperate, they'll try a new thing. Things that have not been proven and things that have not yet been fully developed. But they're so desperate. But if you'd asked them when they was well, no, I ain't taking that. Mm-mm, not me. Not until they prove that thing works. But when you get desperate enough, and when you get hungry enough, and when you get to where you don't have any hope left, all of a sudden you become open to new things. Isn't that amazing how that works? One place the Lord said that, he said, say not that the former days were better, for in this you are not wise. And I know we all say, and I say it, the good old days. Well, the good old days and my good old days is somebody today's, somebody else's good old days, right? So the good old days just keep rolling over. And before long, you'll be gone, and there'll be a different good old days that you despise today. That's be somebody else's good old days. Oh, I hope you can follow this morning. So whatever you call the old thing that you cherish so much, at one time, that was a new thing. Whatever you call the old thing, at one time, that was the new thing. And somebody had to embrace it, or you wouldn't have liked it. And sometimes if God would tell you what he's fixing to do ahead of what he's going to do, you wouldn't be open to it. If the Lord would have told them, now here's how we're going to escape out of Pharaoh. I'm going to open up the Red Sea. I'm going to have Moses stretch out his rod. I'm going to cause the wind to blow, and it's going to go up hither and thither. It's going to congeal, and you're going to put on your hackberry house slippers, and you're going to walk across on dry land. They just said, that ain't going to happen. You got to be kidding me. You're going to get me out there to make a fool out of me. But Lord, when they got to the Red Sea, and the enemy was behind them, and mountains to the right and to the left, and the enemy was approaching them, they was open to a new thing. All of a sudden, a new thing sounded pretty good. And the Lord opened up the Red Sea, and they walked across on dry land. They embraced that new thing. Now, guess what? When they got across, it's now an old thing. It just become an old thing. And they wanted to keep dwelling on the old thing. Moses is our leader. You know, in the New Testament, we're of Abraham's seed. I was before Abraham. That's what the Lord told them. You trusted in Moses, trust in me. They still wanted the old thing, so they missed the new thing. So when Christ came along, they weren't even open to it because they were still stuck in the old thing. Oh, am I helping some old folks here today? Hallelujah. Never happened before the Red Sea opened, parted waters, and they walked across. And you know what? Hadn't happened since. So if you're waiting for the Red Sea to open, you might ought to try a bridge or call a ferry or a taxi or something. Because rarely does God do the same thing twice. Because he's a creator. To do something you've already done is just an encore. But he's a creator. And he wants to do a new thing. And he wants to do a new thing in your life today. Amen. And so when they got across, he said, when you finally you get through with the they sang the songs of Zion, they jumped, and nana nana boo boo, we'll see our enemies no more. But then they turned around to the wilderness. We're out of water. There's no water around here. And they would have went back, but they couldn't. So the Bible says they would have went back, but they couldn't. Because he wasn't opening it up again. And so now we need another new thing. And so when the Lord brought them to the place where their backs are against the wall, they have no water, they were open to a new thing. Water came out of the rock. Manna came from heaven. A cloud by day and a fire by night. Oh, this is wonderful. I'm really open to new things now. Hallelujah. And sometimes I'm afraid in the church of the living God, we're not open to anything new until we're forced to do it. Oh, my God. You get hungry enough, I'm telling you, you'll eat that manna. You get hungry. So it didn't taste good. It's just kind of plain to me. No, there ain't no Tonys out here. Well, that's fine. But you know what? You eat it, it'll sustain you. And so we finally come to Jordan River, and it's a new thing. The priests lead them across with the Ark of the Covenant, and they touch the water, and it dries up below where their feet walked, and they walk across there on dry land. And even Joshua, when he got across there, he said, I have never been this way before. This is a new thing. I've never been here before. Oh, look at those big walls. Oh, Jericho, how are we going to take that? We don't have swords. We're not a mighty army. How are we going to take that? It's going to be a new thing. We're going to do a new thing. And what we're going to do, we're going to march around. Oh, you got to be kidding me. You want them to fall or not? One thing I loved about those old timers, though, I will tell you, they'd march you around the church building. They'd come on 2:00 in the morning. They'd be walking you around till finally you'd get it whether you wanted it or not. Just you ready to go home. They were going to do something new. Stand on this leg, hop around. They were trying to get it to come down with a new thing. Hallelujah. New things throughout the Bible. David kills the giant. Headlines, Jerusalem Post, David kills giant with slingshot. New thing. No one ever used a slingshot to take down a giant before. It's a new thing. Hallelujah. Then David fights the Jebusites, not with a sword or a spear. He does a new thing. He goes up through the gutters. He fights the Philistines. As soon as he gets through the Jebusites, he turns around and the Philistines are after him. And he goes and the Lord goes ahead of him and they just whip him bad. But the Bible says, and they came yet again. And he said, Lord, do I go at them like I did before? And he said, no, we're going to do a new thing. He said, this time you're going to wait till you see the movement in the mulberry bushes. And when you see that, that's when we go. That's a new thing. Well, if he had done the old thing, he'd have lost. You have to be willing to do. How many of you open to a new thing? Hallelujah. I'm open. The Lord knows how to make you open to a new thing. Hallelujah. The problem with dwelling in the strength of the old thing is that it limits the Creator from showing you new things. If you're just so stuck on the old thing, why show you a new thing? He said, I want to do a new thing, but you wouldn't believe me though it were told you. There's no need to tell some people what God's going to do because they're just going to, no way. They're not going to believe it. Israel kept trusting in the former days of Moses and the opening of the Red Sea, and it limited God from doing the things he wanted to do. So he said, look, that's extinct. They're extinct, that's extinct. And let's move on to new things. With new things, let me tell you, you have to trust God. If it's the old thing, you can go back and see how it worked out, right? And you go, well, okay, if it worked for you, it'll probably work for me too. But a new thing, you don't know how this is going to work out. You have to trust God with new things. Hallelujah. There's no point of reference. There's nobody to call and say, well, how did it work for you? It's a new thing. And every one of you are facing challenges that's new to mankind. We all have different circumstances. Every one of us. And every day we're facing new things that we've never faced before. And you need to face them with God on your side. Can you say amen? Amen. Sometimes when you're faced with dilemmas, you get to the point you don't even know how to pray. You don't even know what to say. You don't even know sometimes if good's going to come out or if evil's going to come out or why this thing's even come upon you. But the Bible says when you get to the place where you don't know how to pray, that's a good thing. Because it's time that the Spirit, said the Spirit maketh intercession for us with groanings that cannot be uttered. Amen. It is the Spirit of the Lord that needs to pray the will of God, because you'll pray your will. You'll be so carnal, you'll pray your will. Get me out of this. Get my kids out of this. Lord, I don't want to see my kids suffer. Get them out. It may be what God wants them to go through. Hallelujah. To change them into what they need to be. I'm telling you, many of you sitting here today would not be sitting here today if God hadn't put a new thing on you. But it is the new thing that makes you look for resources for answers. Oh, hallelujah. I feel the Holy Ghost here this morning. Amen. And when you finally get to the place, then you will learn to say, quickly, hear my Lord. Abraham going up the mountain. Abraham, hear my Lord. Hear my Lord. You learn real quick. Paul said, hear my Lord. You learn real quick not to fight it and kick against the pricks. You learn real quick, go, hear my Lord. Lord, I don't have the answers. I don't know what to do. What do you want me to do? Dip in Jordan River 7 times. Oh, hallelujah, let's go. You become open to things that you never were open before. Here am I, Lord. The Bible says that in the time of Eli, that the word of the Lord was precious. Eli being a high priest, an older high priest that had desecrated the house of God with allowing his sons. Let me tell you, I preached a sermon called The Blind Spot in Your Life. And the blind spot in your life is generally your children. You see everybody else's but your own. David didn't see Absalom as the problem. Absalom was the problem. The blind spot in your life. And Eli, he allowed his own kids to offer wildfire, strange fire, the Bible called it, upon the altar of God, idolatrous fire, and he turned just act like he didn't see it. Blind spot. I just ignored that. But the word of the Lord was being choked out, Brother Petrie, that day. The light was fixing to go out in Israel. And the voice of the Lord spoke one day in the temple of the Lord. And the old man didn't hear it. But there was a new thing there. There was a new man there. There was a young man there. And he said, Eli must have called me. And he gets up out of his bed, just a young lad. And he goes over to Eli and said, hey, wake up. Did you call me? No, son, I didn't call you. You must be dreaming. Go back to your bed and go to sleep. And he goes back to his bed. He hears that voice again. And he gets up, and this is the third time he goes to Eli. Did you call me? He said, no. Ooh, I used to hear that voice too. I used to hear it. I don't hear it anymore. Son, go back to your bed. And when you hear that voice this time, say, here am I. Be open to the new thing. Just say, here am I. It used to work for me. You need to do it too. And so we read in 1 Samuel 3 and 11. And the Lord said to Samuel, behold, I'm going to do a thing. I don't even know what to call it right now. It's just a thing. I'm going to do a thing in Israel, that which both the ears of everyone that heareth this thing, it shall tingle. Woo, my Lord, it's got to be powerful. In that day I will perform against Eli all things which I have spoken concerning his house. When I begin, I will also make an end. If I start something, God said, I will finish it. Hallelujah. He will finish every work that he started. Amen. I want to do a new thing, but Eli is not the man to get it done. As Jesus taught those hypocrites and those people who trusted in Moses and those people who, hey, I'm of Abraham. See, he was trying to teach them, and he looked at his disciples and said, you can't put new wine in old bottles, lest you the bottle break and you lose the contents. I'm tired of wasting my time on old bottles. Are there any old bottles in here? Hallelujah. If you're an old bottle, guess what? You're going to break. Old bottles can't handle the fizz and the pressure that comes along with a new thing. I'm going to tell you, new things require pressure. Oh, that ain't never going to work. That ain't never going to work. They're never going to fly a plane in Wright Brothers. They ought to call them the wrong brothers. You're going to take some heat with the new thing. But if you're not willing to do that, then just sit with your little cork in there and enjoy your little fizz while you still got any fizz, because sooner or later you pass off the scene. And God said, I will do a new thing. I'm going to tell you, if God's going to do a new thing, I want to be part of it. How about you? I'm willing to be open to whatever God wants to do. I don't want to be left behind. I don't like playing catch up. I don't want to be a procrastinator. God, if there's a new thing you want to do in a new generation, I want to be part of it. Life may be slipping me by, and yes, I just turned 45, but I want you to know that plus 15. I want you to know that when I'm 70 or 80 or 90 or 100, I still want to be open to a new thing. Hallelujah. Because God is a creator of new things. Hallelujah. We get stuck with the old things. How many of you like hand-me-down toys, hand-me-down clothes? I mean, nothing wrong with it. That's what you got to have. But that new thing's nice. Hallelujah. We can be so inflexible that God says, look, I'll just do it without you. I'll tell you, I've prayed, I don't know how many times, even in this little church, Lord, if there's a direction you want us to go and people don't want to go, let's run over them. If they don't want to go, let's build on top of them. Because I don't want to miss the new thing by carnality, by carnal ways and carnal things. A new thing happened in Israel. Eli missed it, and Samuel captured it. A new vision. A vision of what's to come. The vision had almost died because Eli was doing wrong. But let me tell you, before Samuel took over as the new high priest, Samuel had a mama that did a new thing. You catch that? Samuel had a mama that did a new thing. She said, if I could have a baby. She went to Eli said, she's crazy, praying like she's praying. Don't you go home. Her lips was moving, but no words was coming out. He said, she's drunk. She was, oh, Lord, she was doing a new thing. She was talking to God about, Lord, you just give me a child. I'll give this child to the house of the Lord. I'll dedicate, I'll wean it for you, Lord. I'll bring it up, I'll nourish it, and then I'm going to give it to you. That was a new thing. Hallelujah. And she gave that baby to the house of the Lord. And that baby gave himself to the house of the Lord. And the Bible says that not a word of Samuel fell to the ground. Not one word didn't come to pass. A new thing. Because somebody was willing. Here's what I'm trying to tell you, folks. If mama and daddy will do a new thing, Junior will do a new thing. If you stay stuck in the rut, they stay stuck in the rut. You want to stay encore, let's just do it again, then they're just going to keep doing it again. But if you're open to a new thing, hallelujah, and you're willing to meet the resistance of other people, hallelujah, then you can have what you want in the Lord. Can you say amen? He'll give you the desires and the delight of your heart, and then you can pass that new thing on to your children. How many of you first generation in this thing we call Pentecostal experience? A lot of first generation. And I'm here to tell you, you probably met some heat along the way. You had some resistance along the way, but you had found a new thing. Lord, have mercy. This is better than mama ever had, mama ever told me. And some of you, when you experienced a new thing, you led your dad and mama back into this. And some of you brought your children into this. Somebody's got to take the challenge of tasting the new thing. Ooh, I'm almost done because I'm almost out of time. You get to the day of Pentecost, nothing changed. It was still a new thing. And the day of Pentecost, they was making fun of them, and they were rejecting them because it was a new thing. They're drunk, and he said, yeah, but not like you suppose, seeing it's the third hour of the day. This is that was spoken of by the prophet Joel. In the last days, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. This is a new thing. And he called it a new creature. Woo, hallelujah. It was so new, they didn't have a name. It's just a new creature. Hallelujah. How many new creatures are in the house today? Let me tell you, if you're not open to a new thing, you never become a new creature. Hallelujah. Paul said, all things have passed away, and behold, everything is new. It's all new. Everything is new to me. I see things different. I react different because I'm a new thing. Whoo, glory to God. Hallelujah. Compact disc. I remember the LP-33s. How many of you remember that? Now, I'm going to be honest with you. I said, I'll stick with my big old records, you know. I'm going to stick with that vinyl record. And I put that needle on there, and it was, you know, it was scratchy. But, boy, I was enjoying my records, you know. And you'd stack them up like this. I mean, you remember that? And you'd just let them flip down there, and oh, it was just nice. And then they come out with CDs. I don't need that CD. I don't see anybody that wants CDs. But there come a day, as hard-headed as I was, my needle finally wore out. And I said, well, I'll just run down there to Radio Shack and get me another needle. He looked at that and said, where'd you get this dinosaur from? I said, you don't have this in stock? He said, oh, no, man, we ain't had that in years. I searched the internet looking for, I finally found one. It's like $40, you know. Somebody was scalping me just so I could. I said, forget this. Where's them CDs at? I like CDs. And now CDs, you know. You get a car now, it doesn't even have a CD player because it's MP3, right? Well, don't get too used to MP3 because there'll be something else. But you see, when things finally run out, you get open to a new thing. The reason you're not open to a new thing, you're not desperate enough. No, you're complacent. I'll talk more about that next sermon, just being complacent. Amen. Paul teaches us to not be conformed to this world. That's the old thing. But to be transformed, that's the new thing, by the renewing of your mind. Same input, different output. Okay? Same input. I see it different now. You see? I see the same thing I saw before I become the new thing, the new creature. But now I see it different. What I thought was a curse is now I see as a blessing. You see? But if I'm going to conform to the old thing, then I'm going to keep seeing it the old way. But if you're really a new thing, you see things different than you've ever seen it before. Amen. We're transformed by the renewing of our mind. Hallelujah. And if you're not open to a new thing, I want to make an announcement. God will do it anyway. He's going to do it anyway. I will do a new thing. Hallelujah. He can save by many or he can save by few. He can use you or he cannot use you. He can, amen. Whatever God wants to do is what he's going to do. My prayer is, God, make me open to whatever you want to do. Amen. Amen.